This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams. So this is our last show of the year, and I went back and checked what we said at the end of 2022 about what 2023 was going to look like in this economy. And at the time, our rappers predicted inflation was going to be the big story of the year, but folks were still trying to figure out if we were headed into a recession or a soft landing. Here to give us their takes on how everything turned out in 2023 in the U.S. economy, Neela Richardson at ADP and Catherine Rampell at The Washington Post. Welcome, you two.
Hi, Kimberly.
Thanks.
Catherine, I want to start with you because you were here with me this time last year and accurately predicted that inflation was going to be the big story of the year. And unlike many people, you were very cagey about whether we were headed into a recession or a soft landing. So how do you feel about that now?
Oh, I'm so relieved. I did not remember what I had predicted last year. I remember being nervous about a recession last year, but maybe I was trying to maintain some cautious optimism. This year has been pretty good. You know, certainly on paper looks great. The labor market has held up, has been remarkably resilient. We've now had 2 years of sub 4% unemployment. We've had declining or moderating inflation, you know, not yet where we want it to be, but within a stone's throw of the Fed's inflation target, and some other pretty good milestones. Women's labor force participation, at least for what's called prime working age workers. For those women, it has reached record highs at various points this year. So a lot to celebrate, I think.
Neela, what would you say was the big economic story of 2023?
The consumer. It's like the consumer was humming to LL Cool J the whole year. Don't call it a comeback. We've been here for years, like 3 years, spending like inflation didn't matter, no matter what, how high prices came. They came back in the summer. They went traveling. They went to see Beyonce and Taylor Swift. They even went to a Jets game. They went to back to school shopping. They've done holiday spending. And they've done this consistently without regard to higher inflation or higher interest rates. Now, there is some flies in that ointment. Those interest rates are high and spending is likely to slow, but the consumers really made the difference all year long.
But Catherine, I want to pick that up with you. We've been saying for months now, it feels like all year, that the consumer is going to start pulling back on spending. Is there any reason to think that this time will be different?
It has been really bizarre because based on what data we have available, it looks like consumers have spent down a lot of their so-called excess savings that they accumulated earlier in the pandemic, you know, from being trapped at home, in addition to getting various government transfer payments. A lot of that cushion has been spent down. On the other hand, because job growth has continued, has been chugging along, that translates into paychecks, which translates into ongoing spending money. So even though, you know, whatever might have landed in their bank account a few years ago through stimulus checks or what have you, that money's gone. You know, it's been somewhat, it's been drawn down less quickly, I think, than we might have otherwise anticipated, because there has been strong job growth, because there has also been strong wage growth, particularly nominal wage growth, but in real terms too, this year. So it seems like consumers are holding up, but, you know, never say never. There is obviously the chance that as presumably the labor market cools, that some of that, you know, some of that increased cash coming in will slow.
Neela, let's talk a bit more about this other half of the Fed's mandate, full employment. You know, we have had this consistently low unemployment that Catherine was just talking about. Employers are still complaining about not being able to fill all of these jobs that they need to fill. We've got minimum wage increases coming in a couple dozen states this year. What do you think is the big story on the job front this year and also looking ahead?
Well, that's the thing, Kimberly. I think it is about looking ahead because we tend to think short term when it comes to inflation and Fed action. But what we're seeing in the labor market is actually a long-term phenomenon. It's called demographics, and people are not going into those roles that they used to go into. When you look at teaching or construction workers or plumbers or electricians, even accountants, we're not seeing the flow that we used to. And we're also seeing a lot of retirements of the baby boomers. So you put those two things together, the flow out, the flow in, and you're seeing a labor market that has huge gaps despite all the strength. It's an ongoing problem. And what it does, and you've alluded to it, is it keeps wage pressure strong. And so this inflation battle might be reoccurring. It might come back again in 2024 if the labor market stays as strong as it is now.
Yeah, so Catherine, we've got these low jobless claims. We've got stocks doing well. We've got inflation on its way down. I mean, what do you see as sort of the risks to that may kind of mess up the soft landing that there's a lot of markers pointing that we may be on the way to or at? Who knows?
Well, there are a bunch of wild cards. So I mentioned women's labor force participation earlier. A major federal childcare funding program recently lapsed, and I think we haven't seen the full consequences throughout the childcare system and by extension on working parents, particularly working moms. So that could be disruptive. With high interest rates, as Neela mentioned, that is very challenging for a lot of businesses. Commercial real estate, for example, loans that might be resetting, the interest rates that might be resetting, that will be very challenging for those companies' business models. So, I think we haven't seen the full effects of rate hikes to date, and we don't entirely understand how they work their way through in a modern economy because we haven't had to experience this series of rapid rate hikes along the lines of what we've had in the last couple of years. So, there are a lot of potential consequences. There's a lot of potential fallout from that that I think we may not yet have anticipated.
Neela, what are you watching for in the new year to keeping an eye on?
Well, I think it's a great list that Catherine just said. I'd add one thing, and that's the labor market, because as much as consumers have driven growth, it's really because they were supported by this strong labor market. And what I see when I look at the data that we have at ADP is that there's no clear driver or industry that is going to set the tone for next year. Unlike this year, where leisure and hospitality, restaurants and bars, mom and pop restaurants really drove hiring over the course of the year and even last year, that has slowed. So, what's going to be the new industry? Is it going to be tech? Is it going to be healthcare? The verdict is still out. And without a clear driver of what moves this economy forward, you could see that this consumer strength starts to kind of fray at the ends here.
Before I let the two of you go, real quick, who gets the credit slash blame for this economy as we head into this election year? Catherine?
I would say supply chains unwinding themselves is a large part of it, but the Fed gets a lot of credit. Their theory that they could take some of the heat out of the economy and out of the labor market through reduced job openings rather than layoffs and rising unemployment turns out to have been correct. So if we are able to escape this period of elevated inflation without falling into recession, I think a lot of credit goes to the Federal Reserve.
Last word to you, Neela.
Agreed. I think the FOMC, the Federal Reserve policymakers, can have that glass of champagne on New Year's Eve and not feel guilty about what they've done and actually feel pretty proud of it. But I'd also give some credit to Main Street. It's really small businesses that created the bulk of net new jobs, and it's consumers who drove the economy. So we should all raise a glass for ourselves for keeping this economy growing despite pretty strong price growth.
Here's to the American consumer. Neela Richardson at ADP and Catherine Rampell at The Washington Post. Thank you too, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.